I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to use my life. I thank God for what he did yesterday, but for tomorrow, I want him to have full use of my life. And no doubt we have people here watching on the online experience that one day you may be pastors, you may be evangelists, you may be involved in the help ministries, you may be an evangelizing parent, which every parent should be, an evangelizing parent. I should have got at least one amen on that. Every parent should evangelize their own children. But no matter how God uses you, no matter how great, how small, or how many times, there's some things that you and I need to know about the Lord to ensure that he keeps on using us. Understand, God is under no obligation to use any of us. None. It's not by default you just say, well, I'm going to grow up to be this. Well, if the Lord wills for you to be that, then maybe so. But there's some things about God that we need to know, that we need to understand so that we can continue to operate in his presence and not be cut off. And so in the book of Isaiah chapter 42, I'll just read verse 8. The Lord is speaking through the prophet and he says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I am the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for all of your wonderful provision in our life, Lord. Too many for us to even count. But we thank you, Lord, that you are mindful of us and that you've shed your love upon us. We'd ask you this morning that you would bless the offering that we receive today here in the worship room across the online experience, that you would touch the lives of those families, those individuals that support the kingdom of God, and that you would give us wisdom to use the kingdom's finances for the furtherance of the kingdom and nothing else. Father, I ask you that you'd bless me this morning, that you'd help me to make a clear sound, that your people might know and understand more about your character and more about our obligation to follow after you. Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. There are some things about God's character that we have to understand if we're going to be used of God. And to the extent that you understand this, to that extent, God can continue to use you in greater and greater endeavors. And it's a slippery slope for the child of God who's being used of God to begin to nibble off of God's glory. And what is meant by God's glory is that he is the source of all provision for everything. Every breath, every life, every morsel of food, every laughter, every good thing comes from God. And that he is the only one who should receive the thanks, the praise, the recognition for what he does. Now, the problem is that when we become ambassadors for the kingdom, we step into a fearful position because, for example, my position this morning, I stand between God and you. I need to get it right. I need to make sure that I represent myself in such a way that all worship, all praise, all honor is not cast upon me, but is cast upon him. And understand, it's a slippery slope because of the fall. Our attention has turned inwards to ourselves, and it's very consistent for us to have other people focus on us rather than point other people to Jesus. Not I, but Christ, who dwells in me. Now we can understand this intellectually, but there will be times in your growth as a Christian and you're being used of God, that it's very easy. You begin to like to hear the accolades. You like to hear, oh, you did a great job. But you have to always turn that back and say, oh no, pray for me. God is using me. I want him to continue to use me. You always have to bring yourself low, not just before the people, in your own heart. You have to do this, or God will cut you off. Now, I'm going to share some scriptures this morning to help you understand how serious God is. I emphasize this phrase, my glory will I not. I will not give it to another. God is consistent with using any one of us. But only as we become transparent conduits so that God can use us in whatever means he does, but that all worship goes directly back to him. And if someone, because sometimes immature Christians, they just don't know, they think the pastor is a great man of God. They think the evangelist is the great man of God. But let me be clear this morning. There is no such thing as great men and women of God. There is no such thing. There's only a great God and little bitty bondservants who serve him at his command. Now, if you'll turn to the book of Acts, we'll look at how serious God is about this. Acts chapter 12, and we're going to read about Herod the Great. Beginning with verse 21, it says, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in his royal apparel, sat upon his throne. Now, we want to move slowly through this so I can kind of try to bring out some details. He has on his royal garments. He is sitting in his official throne before the people. He's operating in exactly the position that God has put him as the main governor over those affairs. And he made an oration. That is, he gave a speech unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately, look at that word immediately. It means not in 5 minutes. It means not in 3 minutes. It means on the spot, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And as a result, he was eaten with worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So we see here that God is the one who sets up governments. God is the one who raises one up and sets another low. God does all of this. And this man had reached the heights. He's in his royal garments. He's sitting upon his throne. But he fails in this one little area to tell the people, no, that's wrong. God gets the glory. No, that's right. It's not the voice of a God. It's the voice of a mere man. God is the one who gets the glory. But you see, power is intoxicating. The cheers of the people is intoxicating. And sometimes we like those accolades far more than we recognize. God needs to be recognized in all of this. My wife this week was watching, some movie about the band Queen. And I happened to glance at the TV, and they had like an ocean of people in front of them. They were doing a concert. There was just an ocean of people. And it dawned on me, and I realized that man was not made to be the center of that type of a gathering. We're not mentally, psychologically configured that all people, that masses of people all look at us. And I begin to think that as you look at some of the big stars through the years, the Michael Jacksons, the Princes, the Beyoncés, who are used to having stadiums full of people all focused upon them, they begin to mentally break down. They begin to imbibe drugs to sleep, to soothe them, to chase away their demons. It's because man was never meant to be the center of attention. Only God. And so when Herod failed to tell the people, don't say that, don't do that. Even the angel in the book of Revelation, I believe chapter 19, John was overtaken with the visions he was receiving, and he began to worship the angel. And the angel says, see, thou doest it not, worship God. But Herod failed to do that. And listen, as all of us, do you realize you're just a person? You're like 7 billion of just like you. We have very little value. Your opinions, I know you feel strongly about them, but they don't really matter. Nobody cares but you. You ever realize that? I mean, my opinion, nobody cares about my opinion. Just preach the word. We don't care what you think. Just tell us what the word is. And so we have to realize that we're not that important. And that is, it is a privilege to be able to do anything for the Lord. And if there's any thanksgiving, if there's any praise, if there's any worship, worship him. Worship him. And so Herod met his fate. You know, I just wonder what that conversation was like on the other side of the threshold of death. God immediately slapped him with worms. He gave up the ghost. And then he stepped across the threshold to look at the God whose glory he received from himself. And God saying, my glory will I not share with another. See, we need to understand this about God. We all want God to use us. That's wonderful. There's no problem with that. But remember, it's God that is using you. It is not you. Amen. It's not you. He says in the book of Exodus, and this is not the first of the Ten Commandments, but the thought is very consistent with the very first commandment that God gave in the Ten Commandments. Verse 34 of Exodus, I'm sorry, Exodus 34, verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Now, you have to understand what he's saying here. He's not talking about a petty jealousy like you and I might have. He is simply saying part of his character, part of his essence, is that he realizes that he is the only one in all of creation that is worthy of the recognition for the goodness, anything good happening in creation. And he's jealous of that recognition. And so when someone else begins to just steal his glory, steal the recognition that he should be getting, that becomes a problem for him because it's contrary to who he is. He said, my name is jealous and I'm a jealous God. As you look through the pages of the Bible, Old Testament and New, you'll find any number of stories where men have failed to give God glory, and never does it end well, and very often it ends very harshly towards that person. You know, one of the problems that we have now is celebrityism in the ministry, where you have nationally, really globally known ministers who have gotten comfortable standing in this position between the people and God and have begun to allow the people to lift them up. Because when the preacher is the center of recognition, the money flows to him. But when the preacher doesn't really want that recognition, then the money flows to the kingdom. I had many years ago when I was a young pastor, and we had just built this building over here. And at that time, we were predominantly African-American church. There were really not that many Caucasian people there. And something that's often done in the black church is that on the pastor's birthday, people put their money together and say, Pastor, we're giving you a birthday present. And then there's his wife gets a birthday present, financial. And then it's pastor's day. And then it's, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And I had caught wind that the saints were together, putting some money together for my birthday. And I sent back through the grapevine saying, don't do that. I don't want that. If we put money together, we're going to do something for Jesus. And so I told them, don't do that. So on my birthday, they didn't listen to me. They presented me with a financial gift. And on the platform, I rebuked them all. And I told them, every last one of you is getting your money back because you're not going to get me in trouble with God. That's not going to happen. That's the heart. Not because it's what I did. It's because it's the heart that God gives a true servant. I don't want recognition. I want him to receive it all. I was dying on drugs. I would already be dead. But God's goodness lifted me up. I want you to see him. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. As Paul said, Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He was having visions. But yet he said, it's not I, but Christ that dwelleth in me. And we have to keep that attitude lest we put ourselves crossways with God. I don't care how great he's using you. We have another situation, and this is what we see in the mega ministries with the celebritism that is so rampant in the church. The book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 9, it speaks, it says, and there was a certain man. Now, this is the Holy Spirit inspiring this. He just said a certain man, not a great man, not an awesome man, just a man. That's all he was. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery to bewitch the people of Samaria. Now, this is the attitude we see slowly creeping into the church in regards to not just only on the platform, but even sometimes in different parts of the ministry where people look up to those who work in the ministry. We see this slowly creeping in. If I see it creeping in, I will dismiss you. I will ask you to leave because you're poison. He used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. Now, this word bewitched, I looked it up in the Geneva commentary, and here's what it says. Simon has so allured the Samaritans with his witchcraft that his blind and mad idiots, they were wholly addicted to him. They were addicted to him. Now think of how many people you know that go to large churches that if you say something negative about their pastor, they don't receive it just as an opinion. They receive it as a personal insult because they're addicted to the personality and not to the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving out that himself was some great one. In other words, everything that he was doing was to the promotion of himself so that he had more power, more sway with the congregation, with the people. Because when you have sway with the people, as I said previously, the money flows your way. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Saints, we have to be very, very careful. Being in a position of responsibility is also a position of accountability. We are always accountable to God. We must always make sure our job, whether you're a pastor, an evangelist, or whether you're a Christian, your whole purpose for being alive is to give glory to God. To make sure it all goes to Jesus. That's the only reason you're here. If you're not doing that, we don't need you in the kingdom. That's the only purpose. That is the job description. Bring glory to God. They said, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because that of a long time, there it is again, he had bewitched them. In other words, he had slowly manipulated them into being addicted to his personality. What we want to make sure is that nobody becomes addicted to us. Perhaps as a young Christian that you're helping along or someone that you're converting to the Lord, it's easy. A young Christian, they think everything they see is better than we are. You know, they see what we're doing in the Lord. I remember as a young Christian going for the first time to church in my life. And the first thing I noticed in those first weeks was the load that the pastor was under. That he had such a huge responsibility on him. And that every time I came to the church, the goosebumps would go up my neck when he was preaching because I could hear God speaking through him. And it's easy when you're in a position like that to use it to manipulate people because we like the feeling. But God doesn't like you having the feeling. And if you have that feeling, you are in trouble already. It's an addictive, intoxicating process. You need to back out. It's better to walk off and leave the ministry than to steal God's glory. We have another situation in the book of Daniel. Regarding Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was the single most powerful man on the planet. It had been prophesied that Babylon would be the greatest nation at some point, and at which that point Nebuchadnezzar was upon the throne. And it says in Daniel 4, verse 29, and on the 12th month, he, Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Now, you know, Babylon was known for their grandeur. They were known for how big the things were. And he's walking around in the palace. And the king spake, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? Now, notice how inward he's turned. That I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Do you see that? That's an attitude. That's an attitude. And that's the attitude I'm preaching against this morning, is that we ever take the attention of God's people and place it on self. Oh, yes, there's times you may have an example that you want to share, but you should never let people look at you as though you are the one, because you're not the one. Amen. He is the one. John the Baptist said, there comes one mightier than I, the latches of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. I simply baptize you with water, but this one that's coming baptizes in the Holy Ghost. There's a greater one than anyone who's ever stood in the human race, in the sea of humanity that has ever lived. There's one that's preeminent, and his name is Jesus Christ. While the word was in the king's mouth, remember, it was immediately in the first scenario we worked through. And this one is more specific. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. Understand that. Snatched the whole kingdom while he was still speaking it. It's an attitude that we have to be very careful of. It's a slippery slope. You could honestly not realize that you're getting a little too heady. You could maybe just not even realize it. But as soon as you realize it, you need to do a 180 and turn back the other way and repent. God, I don't know what I'm doing. Would you allow your Holy Spirit to convict me on this so that I make sure that I don't stand in the light of your glory, that it all goes to you? Here's what Jesus said in the book of John. He says, and I, Jesus is speaking. He says, and I, if I be lifted up, then I, Jesus, will draw all men unto me, Jesus. So that tells us that you and my, our job is simply to lift him up. He does all the rest of it by himself. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh man, I got to get this person saved. You can't. You're not saved enough yourself. All you can do is be a voice. All you can do is tell them what you've experienced in the Lord. And more than anything else, lay on your face and call their name before the throne. Father, would you touch this one? See, we're servants. We're nothing more than that. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, he was talking, of course, about his crucifixion, I will draw all men unto me. He will not draw people unto the preacher. He will not draw people unto the church. You know, many times, I've seen it too many times, people do church plants, and their focus certainly becomes, I don't want to build the church. That's why we don't really do, I don't know how to say this, I don't want you to take this wrong. Every now and again, we open the doors of the church to bring in members because people are, they have the mindset, I want to be a member. When you was born again, you became a member. And any real church you ever walk in, you're already a member because you're born again. And I have never had the mindset, oh, we got to get our membership up. We got to get more members. Sure, I want all the seats to be full. Of course I do. But my attitude is that if you're here today, you're a member. And if you're not here next week, you're still a member of the body of Christ. You just fellowship somewhere else. See, we've got to get this mindset. It's about the kingdom. It is not about our little four and no more. Our little cluster of people. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I was recently, I started a commentary on the book of John, which is going to take me a very long time to finish it. But I was going through the verses regarding John the Baptist. And there's not one like John. John is amazing. I mean, I don't know of anyone else who had the Holy Ghost before he ever got born. I mean, John was special. His name was waiting for him when he got here. His name was already here. And not only that, he is a relative, second cousin to Messiah. I mean, he got some strong credentials. He was a Levite. His father worked in as a priest, but John said, I don't want that. He went out into the wilderness and just spent that time with God. And when he came back in off the wilderness, I mean, the anointing was on him. And he was baptizing people, and masses of people would come out to John's baptism. They were so convicted of their sin that they would be baptized in water for the remission of sin. But in John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, this is the record of John. And John is our example. He's a good example. Let me say it that way. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now think about this. You don't have a church. You just went out and started a church under a tree somewhere. And the biggest preachers in the nation came out to your tree. Said, man, who are you, man? You're killing it out here. Look at that. I mean, all the people are coming out here. Who are you? I see. He said, well, I'm the one, bro. I'm the one. It's very easy to have that attitude. You look at what's going on. God didn't use any of those. He used me. I got to be the one. It's part of the fall. We can act like this would never impact us, but I can guarantee you, if you're used of God, this is something that you have to be very careful of. As a young Christian, I had this probably 5 years before I ever started pastoring or anything like that, maybe even earlier. I was in the car with a brother. I just dropped him off at his house, a brother that went to the church with us. And I just felt in my spirit, to pray for this brother. And so I asked him, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. And he was a brother that was always, he was not strong in the Lord. You know, I really wasn't either, but I was stronger than him. And his wife was just, she was always on fire, but he was always kind of laying back. Anyway, the Lord, I felt, told me to pray for him. And I grabbed his hand and I began to pray for him. And I mean, the power of God shot through that car. I felt it when it went through my body and it went into him from my hand touching him. And it was powerful. And so he got out and went home. And, you know, the next time we went to church, his wife came running to me. She said, what did you do to my husband? I said, what are you talking about? And he has been on fire. He's been his Bible ever since he got out the car with you, seeking the face of the Lord. Really? Well, and what happened? I'm just being transparent and open with you. I mistook that. I thought that God had put his seal of approval on me when he didn't. He just used me in that situation. And so when I went back to church, my mind was, yeah, give me your hand, brother. Let me show you. Give me your hand. But there was no fire. There was nothing happening. And God was teaching me, son, it's never you. It's never you. If there's a good message that comes here, it's never me. It's always him. It's his word. It's his breath. It's his thoughts. It's his story. It's all about him. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, "I'm not him. I am not the Christ." And since that's something you and I always have to do, even if someone's just giving you a passing compliment, lower yourself. It happens to me often. "Preacher, that was a good message. Man, you just blessed my heart. Please pray for me, please. I put myself under them. I need your prayer." I don't do that for them. I do that for me to make sure my spirit stays right. And they ask him, "Well, if you're not the Christ, are you Elijah? And we know you're somebody. Could you be Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "What are you that prophet that Moses talked about? Are you him? Who are you? We know you got to be somebody." And John kept pulling himself down, said, "No, I'm not him." Then they said unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I'm just a voice." I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's what every Christian is. We're just a voice. We just make proclamation of the King. That's the beginning and the end of any power that we ever had. It pleased the Lord that verbal communication is how the gospel would be spread. And he allowed us the honor of being involved in what he's doing by letting our voice be used. But when it's all said and done, we're not a personality. We're just a voice. Generic. Just a voice. John was the greatest prophet ever born of woman, Jesus said. But yet his own confession here is that he didn't even say he was a prophet. He's the first one to speak in 400 years. He didn't even recognize that. He said, "I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Saints, in this dark, evil, wicked world that we're in, God needs people that he can raise up. But hear what I'm going to say. He will only use you to the extent that he can trust you. And he is omniscient. He sees right into the attitude of the heart. And that's what he looks at to determine to what degree, what can he use you to do? How much can he use you? John said, "I must decrease." Seemed like he was pretty low right here. But he said, "I must decrease." When people began to leave his ministry and go to Jesus's ministry, his people came back to him and said, "Man, everybody's going to Jesus." He was not offended. It was not a problem. He just simply said, "I must decrease and he must increase." That's the attitude of a child of God, the proper attitude of a child of God. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you so much this morning. God, let these words sink down into our ears and settle upon our hearts. Let the conviction of your Holy Spirit be upon every last one of us, beginning with me. That we are careful, Lord Jesus, that all glory goes to you. That all thanks, that all honor, that all recognition goes to you. Because every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights. Lord, you are he, and besides you there is none other. And we honor you this morning. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet with me? If you're able this morning, just stand to your feet. And just begin to acknowledge him as the great and mighty God. Lord, we understand this morning that you are jealous. Jealous God, jealous for the glory that is rightly due you. And God, let your conviction be upon our lives and upon our hearts and upon our minds. Lord, if a spirit of haughtiness begins to settle upon us, oh God, help us, for you said pride comes before fall. We ask you for your conviction this morning. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. God, help me to be careful. Help me to be careful. God, that I don't allow any glory to go anywhere except straight to you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning.
Yes, Lord. Help us to only recognize you for everything that we have, Lord. in and of ourselves, we are inadequate, Lord. All the praise and all the glory and all the honor belongs to you. Thank you for using us, Jesus. Thank you for giving us the honor of being used by you. And not let us step out by trying to usurp any of your glory, Lord. It all belongs to you. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That was a good word. It just makes it so much easier to know that it's not of ourselves. It's all Jesus. It's all about him. We do thank you so much for coming out this morning. If you haven't had a chance to give, please do so. You know the ways to do that. We do need food pantry contributions. There's a list up here on the screen of things that we need. And if you do need a food basket, of course, please see the staff out in the lobby and they'll help you. But the cutoff is December 22nd. So if you need one, do it quickly. Also, there's no Bible class on the 25th. And also on the first. So we'll skip two Bible classes. And we do thank you again for being out with us. We thank our webcast for being live with us. And come back for the 11 o'clock service if you're able to. And God bless you. You are dismissed.